This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid,
to take a stand. See you live off the record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Faith Center Ministries, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, November the 1st, right? Next month, Christmas can be here. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. You know, when we had the show the other day and we were talking about the by-election and some issues, there were a number of texts that came in that I did not get to see until after the show. They literally only came in after I had signed off from the show. And since we continue to be examining issues around the upcoming by election. And let me tell you something. Your name is to not joke around. I've seen clips, videos, and y'all are having a field day in this by election. Someone showed a clip of the lady who was out front of the PLP's headquarters, who had vowed that they were going to give away. The West Grand Bahama and Bimini seat. This was a PLP person now. And the video said $100 later. Y'all are so cruel. But anyways, sometime later, boy, that lady, she was on air telling everybody was going to be a clean sweep. Going to be a clean sweep. Y'all don't joke around, man. Now, honestly, my understanding is that in some parts of the West Grand Bahama and Bimini constituency, I think the PLP is finding that things are a little more challenging than they may have thought. This is what I'm being told on the ground. That in particular in that 8 Mile Rock area, that Bishop Grant is making some waves and that things aren't as cozy as the government might like. But I don't think that the people on the FNM side or the COI side are under any delusions. They are fighting against a juggernaut when you're fighting against the government. And so, but it looks like there is going to be a contest. That's what I'm being told. Now, if you hear something different, if you know something different, let me know. Now, this isn't the 8 Mile Rock proper area. Now, this is not West Grand Bahama, and this is not Bimini. This is in that 8 Mile Rock, which actually should not be unexpected. Should not be unexpected for both Bishop Grant and the FNM. So there's a race going on. And as the race goes on, all kinds of things continue to be said and done And so, as promised, we are going to be looking at some of those things. So, I'm going to read some of the text that was written the last time. So this one said, sounds like Mr. Smith's first statement, he was not speaking from his heart. Said he was not speaking from his heart. Really? And this one says, with all due respect, I disagree with your argument. When someone goes on an interview, they don't tell the company what's wrong with their company and how they plan to fix it. They present their credentials to the company and sell that they are the best candidate for the position. Now, when they get on the job, they will have to prove that they are, in fact, the best, up to the task. I was reading this the other day, and I wasn't sure what this person was listening to. I wasn't sure what, when did I say, Zhivago Sean Lang say, that a person seeking to be a candidate in a constituency goes up there and tells people what is wrong? That Zhivago Sean Lang said that? Or did Zhivago Sean Lang say, if you are going to interview for a job, you need to know what the job is? Like, who in the world applies for a job that they don't know what the job is? What is expected of them? In fact, how can you assess your qualifications for a job if you don't understand what the job is? So what does that have to do with telling people what's wrong with the job? Who does that? Who goes to an interview and goes, let me tell you what's wrong with your company? And when did, in fact, did anyone who called the show say something like that? It just goes to show me again that I honestly don't understand sometimes what we are listening to. So, first of all, I agree with you. Nobody goes on a job and tells people what's wrong with the job. What I don't agree with you on is, you better know what the job calls for. You better know what the job is before you go interviewing for it. Otherwise, what you can tell people, I could talk, I could write, I could this, I could that. But we don't need all that right now for this particular job. Can you fix airplane engines? We were happy you could talk, but can you fix airplane engines? Because that's the job. You're an MP. You're going to be an MP. What's the job? Passing laws in the House of Assembly. This text says as well, while they will be legislators when elected, they are also members of a political organization. So they can't go on the campaign spewing their personal ambitions about what they want to do without first getting approval from their party, the leader of the party. Okay. And that's different than something someone has said around here. You can express some personal things. The party isn't, when I was a member of parliament, I did a little scholarship program at the at the College of the Bahamas. The party didn't do that, and I didn't have to get permission from the party to do that. I started a little computer class, some computer classes in my constituency office. I didn't need to ask the leader of the party to do that at all. I started a youth program that still runs 12 years later. I didn't need to go to ask the party to do that. I had no discussions with Mr. Ingram, no discussions with the FNM about all of that. So you should speak from a position of knowledge. And if you don't understand, you should ask questions, because some of us have actually lived this. There are many things members of parliament can do in their constituencies that they have to have no discussions with their party or the leader on. They can be helpful to people in their constituency, assisting elderly people, assisting young people in having park programs, etc. They don't need to talk to the party or the leader about those kinds of things. They can help their constituents have cleanup drives. They can help their constituents have job fairs, etc. They don't need to speak to the leader or the party about those kinds of things. Those are not the job, but they can certainly do those things. So again, if you don't understand, you could ask questions, but don't tell us, some of us who've been there, what we already know and have done and experienced in the area. This text says, this is the worst it has ever been in the tourism industry. The tourist numbers might be up, but we aren't seeing the tourists. What do you mean you aren't seeing the tourist? And you know what? You might in fact be right, because to this extent, where are the tourist numbers at? The tourist numbers are not up big time in terms of stopover tourists. So if you work in the hotel industry, you are not seeing substantially more tourists than you have seen in times past. It is not so. I'm going to do a show on those numbers actually for you. Where you're seeing the most increase in numbers is on cruise ship visitors. So if the cruise ship visitors aren't necessarily staying, they're not staying in the hotels, most of them, and they're not going to the hotels, most of them. So if you're not really in the flow of them, you won't see it that way. And certainly across the country, while the new numbers will benefit the economy for sure, they certainly will not benefit the economy to the extent that if those numbers were big time for stopovers, as we are saying for cruise visitors, you would see the difference. So I understand what you're saying. I understand that you are not seeing them, because if you're in the hotel sector, if you are taxi drivers, if you are the restaurants, you're not seeing those cruise visitors numbers the way they look when we talk about we've hit record highs. And to be sure, record highs in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is really wonderful, but nothing new, okay? We've had record highs multiple years in the Bahamas. Otherwise, how do you get from under a million visitors to 7 million? To get from under a million visitors to 7 million, I'm celebrating with the government past and present, with the administration's past and present, that we in fact are seeing better numbers. That's wonderful, and we should all be delighted that that is taking place. But to be sure, you don't go from under a million tourists in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to 7 million without passing through several strands of record breakings, right? And so that's what we've done. And we've been fortunate over the years to have done that. And like I said, one day we'll go through these numbers in some details, but I want to show you something in recent times, just to indicate. Like we had a record-breaking number, which the minister and deputy prime minister acknowledged in 2019. We've reached new record highs so far for the year, and early in this year, we've eclipsed the number that we had in 2019. 2019 was not the only record year. 2019 was the year in which we eclipsed that 7 million mark. But, you know, for instance, let me give an example. So in 2013, we had like 6,150,000 tourists. In 2014, we had 6,320,000 tourists. So we had a record year in 2014. In 2018, we had a record year, 6,622,000. And then we had another record year, almost 800,000 more in 2019. And so those are just a few years. If you go back many, many years, we'll see multiple periods of eclipsing our previous records. So we've been setting records in tourism for a long time. The problem is, we ain't been setting no substantially outstanding records in tourism and stopover visitors. Not yet. Not in the way that could really, really impact upon our economic circumstances. This text says, lying ain't nothing the PLP like when the FNM arguing in public. Yep. Any party likes that. Says Don Saunders needs to mature up. His approach is wrong. As a chairman, he's supposed to be a unifier and execute his duties in such a way that brings healing and unity. He's acting like the people he's complaining about and only providing crass entertainment for us out here. Wow, okay. His text says, is there a country of free speech? If it is, then not only does the callers have a right to speak of their legitimate concerns with their fellow party members, I submit that they have an obligation to the public at large to be transparent about everything going on with the relevant party and the individual members. This secrecy that the callers are advocating is the breeding ground for corruption. That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. That's nonsense. If you are a political party and you want to learn how to lose an election, you listen to that same gentleman right there or that same person right there. Listen to them and go spill all your business, all your internal wranglings and fightings outside. Just go do it. That defies every logic in business, every logic in organizational integrity and family. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You have a dispute within your party about something that has nothing to do with corruption. That's a dispute. Keep it to yourself. That is bad politics. Don't listen to them. It can cause you to lose election after election. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I agree with your comments about Mr. Saunders. I believe the lady who stirred up the controversy during her call has been a constant spot of toxicity in the F&M for years. She has an ambition that I personally hope is never attained. All right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabagra Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody go on come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabagra Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says the method that was used for celebration under the Ingram administration is the same that is being used today. So please, sir, don't try to dumb down the administration achievement. It's amazing how you have something negative to say about every achievement this government makes. But what was I dumbing down, bro? What was I dumbing down? You know, it is amazing. It's amazing that you say sometimes you're not a PLP, but it's amazing how you show yourself oftentimes be PLP because if I make a point that is that you think is contrary to the PLP, you get all tickled and upset. But then if I say something about the FNM, you're good. What's the problem? What did I say? That we have had historical numbers. Did I not also say that it is wonderful that we are having historical numbers again? So I dumb it down because I tell you what the facts are? No, you just want me to go and praise this situation so you could feel good about it. And I'm sorry, bro, you need to do that. Why don't you call in and just say, oh, the numbers are wonderful and grand, etc. And I will read what you say or call what you text and I will let you call. No problem. Don't ask me to speak like you. My name is Shivago Lang. My name is not you, which is not often given. I don't know who you are. You get to know who I am. All right. So I'm sorry you feel a little hurt that I am dumbing down the achievement. The comments I made about the historical numbers are true for the Ingram administration as they are for this one. That's why I went back several years. The same truth applies. You remember I went back to 2013? And so, and beyond, I said those would be historical numbers. The same thing applies. But you're sensitive because your party or something might be hurt. That's okay. I hope you don't get further hurt because I have some comments, other comments to make today. So I was listening to, you remember we read Mr. Kingsley Smith's comments in the Bimini constituency, remember? And one of the things Mr. Smith said was that he's a doer and not a talker. He said people want doers and not talkers. That's what he said. He is not alone in this continuous notion of there being some superiority over doing versus talking. Because Dr. Hubert Minnis, when he was vying for prime minister, he said a similar something. He said that, you know, he's a doer, a talker. And I made these comments at the time when he said it too, because it's interesting to hear people say that because it sounds good. It does sound good to say I'm a doer and not a talker because it does conjure up the notion that, you know, well, if it didn't happen before, you'll see it happen again. The only problem with that is if you're vying to be a member of parliament, there is a problem with that. Producer, I'm sorry. We got to take a break. We have to take a break and then we'll come back. I'm sorry. Can we take a break, producer? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langios. We'll be back after this break.
Feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. I'm so sorry, but that was an emergency scenario that I had to address. Anyway, so Mr. Smith, Dr. Minnis, and others have made this notion of being a duo versus talking. The problem with that is this. If you are seeking to become a member of parliament, if you are a candidate, how do you do that? So, like, what do you do when you are campaigning? You talk. You can't do a lot because you cannot exchange favors with voters for their vote. So you have to explain to voters what it is you propose to be and do for them, right? So your campaign is all about talking. You send out pamphlets to people. What is on your pamphlet? Your written talking points, right? They're written talking points. You go to your rally. What do you do at the rally? You talk to people. You give speeches to people, right? Then let's say you get elected. You get elected and you go to where? The House of Assembly. And what do you do in the House of Assembly? You talk. You debate. You discuss laws and resolutions. Let's say you happen to get a minister. What do? You don't go roll up your sleeves and go down in no area paving roads and building bridges. You talk. You instruct. You advise. You direct. You talk. Even if you wanted to do something in your constituency, what do? You go to the government and you to the government and say, I'd like to see this done in my constituency. And if the government agrees to get it done, do you go and get it done? You don't. You talk to the people who have to get the stuff done. So in point of fact, the role is a talking role. It's not a doing role. The doing happens after the talk, not by you, but by others. To get the job, you talk. In the job, you talk. To keep the job, you talk. It is a talking job. No wonder being articulate, being thoughtful, having critical thinking skills are all important skill sets for the job. That's the job. A member of parliament, it's job. Can a member of parliament do that job if he or she cannot speak? You say, well, you could use sign language. Yes, but that's talking too. It's just in sign language, though. It's not, the job isn't going to lay asphalt. The job isn't going to build a business. The job is representing people in the House of Assembly. And what is the House of Assembly? A debating chamber. What is debating? Discussing, querying, dialoguing with people about issues. So let's again at least appreciate the nature of the job. And don't diminish the important responsibility that speaking, talking has in the job. In fact, if you want to understand what it is that your constituents want, what do you have to do with them? You have to go talk to them. And when you understand what it is they want, and you have to go convey that to other people, what do you have to do? You have to speak it to the other people. If you have business people that you are trying to rally to serve and support the cause of your constituents, what do you have to do? Talk to the business people. If you have young people who are discouraged and in need of motivation, what do you have to do? You have to talk to those young people? No, 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 my friend. The job is almost primarily and almost completely a talking job. And if your talking is effective, if your communicating is effective, then some things can get done. A prime minister can't become prime minister without going all through the country talking. And when he becomes prime minister, he has to be talking to the permanent secretaries, talking to the secretary of the cabinet, talking to his camp, his colleagues, talking to the country, talking to international people. Talk. When you go to conferences to represent the country, what are you doing? You ain't doing nothing. You're doing is talking. Talking is the job. This text says, Mr. Lang, I hope Mr. Smith understands that if he wins and is on the back bench, all he will be doing is talking. Absolutely correct. But even if he wins and he's not on the back bench, if he's in the cabinet, all he can be doing is talking. We spend all day at the cabinet, at cabinet meetings. What do you think we're doing? Talking and agreeing, and we agree by talking. All day at cabinet, Tuesday, and if it's extended to another day, that day too. What are you doing? You're talking, discussing the cabinet papers that's presented. You're talking. So that's the job. All this notion about you're going to make this happen in the constituency, you're going to bring the Bahamas Development Bank, you're going to get cultural this done and that done and the next thing. All of those things require talking. Plenty talking. Plenty talking. Sir Lyndon Pinlin, at 25 years as prime minister, accomplished a whole lot of things, but I assure you, Sir Lyndon did not go and put his hand to the plow and take up no shovel and start pouring dirt and cement and all that kind of stuff. Sir Lyndon, and one of his great strengths was his ability to speak, to motivate the nation, to inform the nation, to guide the nation by his oratory. No, let's get it mixed up. The job is a talking job. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down. Can't complain, the same.
It's World Investor Month, and today we're tackling a common problem, inflation. Inflation makes your money worth less over time. So how do you combat it? Think of investing as your shield. By putting your money in investments that typically grow faster than inflation, like stocks or real estate, you can protect your purchasing power. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Stay informed by following us on social media.
Join Bishop Henry Fernandez, Shirley Caesar, and Jonathan Nelson for the Becoming My Best Self Conference on November 2nd to the 4th at the Baja Mar Hotel. You do not want to miss these 3 days of anointed music, worship, and the Word. Get your tickets now. For one price, you can worship with Shirley Caesar and Jonathan Nelson and participate in every session for the entire weekend. Register now at henryfernandez.org or purchase your tickets at Sometime Marathon Mall, the Galleria entrance. Contact 242-601-2012 for more info. Seats are limited. It's time to level up at the Becoming Your Best Self Conference. Meet us there.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, hey, Pop. Here, and good afternoon.
Hey, Pop. How you doing, man?
Rachel, and thank God for life as usual. Minister, what are you talking about today? Is it in open land?
We're talking about the by-election, but go ahead. Feel free.
Okay, so I won't get on that talk when you say you got to talk. Since you the by-election, the chairman of the PLP, Minister Fred Mitchell, said sometime last week to the media, he was pointing out why it's important for the people in West End and Grand Bahama, West End and Bimini, to vote for the PLP in this by-election, saying things like the PLP had power and the PLP will be in a better position to deliver. I understand that whosoever is the governor will be in a position to deliver different than promises from an opposition that when they get in power, what they could do. But I taught all my years in this politics that when you become the government, even if a constituency didn't vote for your party, you have the key word is obligation to deliver for them also. So it sounds kind of complicated and problematic when that ain't the first time Fred Mitchell has made me feel. I taught that way. But one more thing, if you have a pen, this kind of shit important. But I don't know if I miss it and you don't touch it. Lately, not just the opposition, but the persons, especially, I don't know if it's Quincy Thompson or the next guy, gentleman from Freeport, the MP, was pointing out that the minister, the junior minister, Alkidas, he was pointing out, that's a different thing inside my brain, what I was going to bring up, but it's the end of time for it. He was pointing out why it's important or why we should not either be in that organization what blacklists us the other day. Because we shouldn't be underneath them who competing with us. If you could help me, what I'm trying to say. Then when I listen to the Caribbean news, I hear it's different countries also what on the blacklist, and I was wondering if all of them feel that way. And then I so thank God that I have you, Ron, who could explain it to us. Like if what Alkidas is saying that we should not be underneath them since we competing in them. If that's like they moving the goalposts. Every time I hear blacklist. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I understand what you're talking about.
One last thing. You know I'm blind, right? I didn't born blind, but a blind I can't see. And some people are telling me I kind of smart and I could talk, right? I can't.
No, you're articulate.
And I was saying to myself, you're talking about talking, right? And then I was saying, you think anywhere in the world or you think in the Bahamas we'll ever vote for or elect a deaf person who can't talk but smart, could do sign language and get the work done, build up the community and build up the country? Then I say, what about a blind person? I could talk. I'm a good talker and I'm 100% smart like how some people is. But You think that's feasible for a blind person or a person who talked to maybe getting there? Or it's still boiled down with not just talking, but being able to have your 5 cents working? I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the good work, Mr.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you, Papa. Great questions. Firstly, you're right. A government has an obligation to serve of the people of the country. That is, in theory, true, that if there are needs in a constituency, whether you represent it or not, that constituency ought to have its needs addressed. That's the theory of it. But in practicality, governments can prioritize. They can decide where resources go. And so if a government wants to demonstrate pettiness or demonstrate biasness and do only for one community that serves, that supports them and not for others, they will do that and can do that, and there is no law against it. Now, it may come back to bite them, but they can do it. We know of years where people used to say that the government would pave roads up to a certain point where in a constituency where they were supported and not the other parts of it, where they might put in infrastructure in a burg because it was their area, not some other area. It happens. They make the calculation that, well, if they don't support us, too bad, too sad, or maybe in spite of them, they might decide to do something for us. That's all. But to me, if you decide you're not going to do something in an area because the area don't represent you, that's bad governance. Period. That's pretty simple. That's just bad. It's bad governance and it's bad politics. All right? That's just nonsense. But it does happen, and it can happen. So I agree with you, Pauper, that the obligation is on the government to do for everybody, no matter what anyone says. Secondly, what Mr. Halkidis, what Senator Halkidis is saying is that we are not under the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. That's a group of developed countries. We're not under them. But many of our clients in the financial services sector are European clients. Okay? So they, as a European group of countries, can make rules for themselves that at the end affect our clients. And that's how they affect us. Not because we're under them. They affect us because they are affecting the clients who we serve in our financial services sector. And what Mr. Halkidis is saying is, they should not be making standards for us in terms of compliance, because many of them have jurisdictions like Cayman and BVI and those who compete with us. And so they are making rules for us that affects our ability to compete with their own territories. And that's what he's saying. He's saying rather the rules should be set by the United Nations. And the United Nations covers everybody. So everybody's involved and everybody could take a look at it and try to make fairer rules. That's what he is saying. And I agree with him that that is a consideration that could be made. I don't think it can get anywhere, because you can't tell a group of people that they can't do something. But I understand the point that he is making. Can a deaf or blind person become? I think it's challenging, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. The idea is, when I say talk, I mean communicate. So a deaf person speaks in sign languages. If the population of voters are able to hear articulately and clearly from them through sign language what it is they want to convey and believe that they could support that person, it could happen. It could happen. I believe it's challenging, but it could happen. Similarly for a blind person. A blind person can communicate their thoughts and ideas and to a people, and if the people buy into it, then that's fine. So it's not a question of it can't happen. It's a question of, Can that person garner enough support in the first instance from enough people to become leader of a party? And then, as leader of the party, go and sufficiently convey to the population their thoughts so that will be supported to become the government? That's really the question. And none of us can really answer that until somebody presents themselves and says, here we go. All right? This text says, Brother Lang, the people of Bimini and West Grand Bahama have made up their minds as to whom they will elect. That area always chooses a candidate of their soil and liking. That area is considered as a gated community, and the people must have an on-hand approach to West Grand Bahama and Bimini. Say la. We, Grand Bahama, 2023. Okay, so you didn't say who will win, but you said it, y'all have made your mind. Okay. Says, well, both Grant and Smith are from West Grand Bahama and Bimini, or have roots and ties there. So which one of them you going to vote for? This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. It is a talking job where collective consideration takes place for good policy decisions on behalf of the public. Absolutely. saying, Mr. Grant's second paragraph in the speech that you read, he said, Namahat. Read the second paragraph of his speech. Oh, okay. But if you're the same person who I read first, it wasn't clear. You said, sound like Mr. Smith's first statement. He was not speaking from the heart. See the difference? Now you're saying Mr. Grant. That's the confusion, right? That's the confusion. I don't think you were unclear about what you're saying. It was just not clear who exactly you were talking about. This text is high. Talking is basic to leadership, but communication and convincing people to reach a common goal is better. PM Ingram was not a good talker, but he was most convincing. Yeah, communication is the broader concept, but the fact of the matter is Kingsley Smith didn't say that. No, Kingsley Smith said that people want doers and not talkers. And my point is the job is a talking job. Because, you know, communication is not just speaking. Communication, listening first to understand, and then speaking to be understood. So that's the total picture of communication. It involves not just what you verbalize, but your whole posture and tone and all that kind of stuff, right? So that's all of that is involved. And so I'm not disputing that at all. But to make a distinction between talking and doing is to not recognize that predominantly the job is a talking job. How you do that talking, whether you do that eloquently or not eloquently, dynamically or not dynamically, whether you do that in the most prudent manner, or not, that's a different story. And quite frankly, Mr. Ingram was a good speaker. That's not true that he was not a good speaker. Mr. Ingram had some lisp and some the pronunciations that people would have found unlike Mr. Pinling. But over time, Mr. Ingram did away with that. And I listened to him speak in both at home and abroad. And Mr. Ingram is an exception, right? So I do not share the view that he was not a good talker. That is not true. In fact, he was an excellent talker. An excellent talker. And I think that was part and parcel of why he was able to be so convincing for young people. You know, people used to laugh that he would say, like, women and earl, not oil, and stuff. Over time, that went away. But that was just part and parcel of his ordinary speech. Mr. Ingram was a very good and effective speech maker and communicator. And on the stump, oh, man. Him and Pinlet, absolutely, absolutely brilliant. All right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. A beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 4, you can text us on 422-6732, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It's 439-3043. Yeah, this says, I apologize. It was Mr. Smith, not Mr. Grant. Yeah, that's all I was saying. You mix up the two. This text says, when Mr. Ingram stopped saying women, laugh out loud. So when did he stop saying women? I haven't heard him say it in a long time, but he may well still be saying it. So what Mr. Ingram had was a thing that you'll find a few times in the world, a charismatic, that when first revealed is ridiculed, but eventually becomes your greatest strength. You let Miss on a stage and say in that characteristic accent, FNMs, and the world, the crowd will go wild. I've been there, done that many, many times, for sure. You know, Mr. Ingram had this brilliance in communicating in political context where I drafted speeches for him. I'm talking about as prime minister and in political speak. Mr. Ingram would change one word in a sentence or paragraph, and the nature of the entire presentation would be different. He was, and I can tell you one thing, you could draft anything in the world you want for him. You ain't drafting nothing for him, and he could simply just read it. That man would red ink that and knock that up until it was his own. Of course, was a prime minister, so he was busy and doing many things. So drafting remarks for him was part and parcel of many, many, many people's job. But he delivered speeches. He knew the details. He knew the content. He added and put. And he had just brilliant historical context to so many things, right? But the job is one of those kinds of jobs. It's a communicating job. It's a talking job. That's what an MP is. That's what predominantly politics is. I hear people go, oh, politicians only like to talk. What is their job? That's the job. Right? Right now in the Middle East, they're fighting a war. How do you think that the efforts are being made to try to settle that situation? Talking. How many peace treaties have been constructed in the world? Through what? Talking? All the inventions that get made in the world, how do they start out? By people discussing? Talking? How do ideas get exchanged? Look at the House Assembly right now. In the House Assembly, the speaker says communications by ministers. What is communication? Talking. The speaker says first reading of bills. Well, what happens in the first reading of bills? You talk it. Second reading of bills. What happens in the second reading of bills? You talk it. And not only is the second reading of bills, it's second reading and debate. So you're going to read this bill for the second time and then you're going to debate it. And then the speaker says, third reading and committal of bills. So you go into committee. And what is they do in committee? Somebody stands up, the leader of government business, and says, I move that clause one be agreed. What is he doing? Talking? And how do people vote? They sitting or they stand. They're communicating by sitting or standing. Ain't nobody in there knocking up no building, paving no road, building no police car. No, they're talking. And resolution is put before the parliament, and somebody moves a resolution and says, Madam Speaker, I move for a resolution, the blah, 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 blah. What are they doing? Talking? Somebody up and do talk? Talk? They're not even, the listening is minimal at that point, right? And then they have debate on the resolution. What are they going to do during the whole debate? Talk? That could be for weeks. That's what they do. They spend most of the time in the Parliament of the Bahamas talking. Because that's the job. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Chabag. How you doing?
Hey, man. Anton right here. What's up?
All right, it's good, man. I heard a comment before your last break that that caught my attention between you and one of the previous callers. I think it was Papa. And I forgot that I wanted to call in and comment on that. And then it just crossed my mind again. So here I am calling. Look, and now may not be the best of time to even bring up that particular comment, but I can't let it escape my mind and so in as light a way as possible. When we are campaigning and we are telling a particular constituency that, well, it makes no sense looking at the other government or the other party because they can't do anything for you, and the government is the only one who can do anything for you. And then you have the record with which you could reflect on to see what was done for you. You can hear me, Shabaga?
Listening, I'm listening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, you have the record which could reflect upon which was done for you, and then you have to consider all of what is being said. I have a serious problem with that, Jabago, because I believe in the entire picture, that is a part of what creates the problem with the politicians thinking that it's okay to campaign on such political jargon is what I would be, to be nice. That's my mild way of putting it. I have a serious issue with that because that is a part of what, in my view, keeps communities or constituencies across the country down when politicians feel as though they sit on a platform that permits them to even consider making such a statement to voters in the country in the first place. That I believe that the time for that kind of campaigning is gone, and it should never ever come back in the 2023 or moving forward.
I'm sorry, Anton, and the issue is campaigning in terms of what? Saying what?
You and Papa had a discussion.
Right.
Where Papa expressed a concern that the government has the responsibility to perform its duties on behalf of all constituencies in the country.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And Papa was elaborating on a statement that was made in West Grand Bahama and Bimini's in recent times.
Right.
During this by-election cycle.
Which
stated, don't waste your time looking at the others because we're the only people who can help you.
Right.
I am saying that kind of politicking should be done away with in 2023.
I see.
Pardon me?
No, I said I see.
I am saying that when you are elected as government of the Bahamas, your mindset must shift. And no matter whether the constituency supported you or not, the resources of the government of the Bahamas, especially from those elected, ought to be stated as it will be used to further advance, to make more stable, to improve, or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is to keep each constituency or each community moving forward, but not for politicians to think that it is okay in 2023 to make such a statement, because that speaks to a certain mindset that I do not want to go to on the public airwaves on your show, Shivago, right? Because the time is very sensitive in terms of we are right in the middle of the by-election. So I don't want to speak to that and draw any further attention. But I simply wanted to call out that kind of politicking, because to my mind it is madness, right? And it shows a disregard for the people that you were speaking to. It shows a lack of regard for the people you were speaking to, because you have the obligation in the Constitution to do your duty for every constituency. So you have no right to stand up on any platform and make such a statement to any constituent in our country. That's a slap in the face, Chivago. And that kind of campaigning needs to stop. We need instead to stand on our record and to demonstrate what we will continue better. That is the solution. That is the way forward in our country for campaigning.
In a way, Anton, is that not a veiled threat?
It is. But I didn't want to go there, Chivago, as I said. I don't want to, Chivago.
I appreciate your sensitivity, and I appreciate your comments, man. I appreciate that. We can go there. We go there another day.
Yes. All right, Chivago. You take care. Thank you for your understanding. God bless.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your calling. Oh, boy. Interesting. You know, let me see. We have another call on the line. We have another call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. How are you, Chivago?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, sir. Let me ask you a quick question, Chivago. Does those other persons who are now vying for the position of that particular seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask
mm-hmm.
you an honest question. If they mm-hmm. were to win the seat, right,
mm-hmm.
and the present government is in power, and those persons mm-hmm. don't prescribe to the present government, aren't mm-hmm. they at the mercy of the present government otherwise than what is due to them as a politician in parliament?
Not
as far as getting things done.
No, but not if we understand what the job is.
Yes, exactly. Their job as a politician and as a member of parliament is to go in parliament and legislate for the community. Okay?
Precisely.
But the problem with them is they go and promise so many things that the government agency is supposed to deal with. Okay?
Precisely.
Their job is to go in parliament. Say, for instance, I'm a resident of Fox Hill. I should, as a member of parliament for Fox Hill, I should agitate to the different ministries, to the person responsible for the different ministries to get the job done in Fox Hill. Not me take the resources I have and go fix road, park, and all that was given to me by the government is to help persons in the community, okay? And what a lot of politicians get wrong, they take that funding, go fix light, parks, and all that. That's not their job. Their job is to go and agitate and legislate, okay?
Right.
So my thing is, if a politician or a person to profess to be a politician said something on the stage, I don't think that person is wrong because that's the actual facts. What can other persons, if they're not speaking about legislation, do for their constituency otherwise than go in parliament and legislate? Thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for calling. I was asked this question. What is the benefit of electing a opposition member of parliament at a time when the government is the government and they'll be in opposition? That's the question. So, in other words, what's the benefit of electing Bishop Ricardo Grant? So he will be a member of parliament for West Grand Bahama and Bimini at a time when the PLP shall still be the government. That was the question put to me. What is the benefit? And that is such a powerful and important question. Why should the West Grand Bahama and Bimini residents elect a opposition member of parliament to see? Y'all want to hear my answer? Let me tell you why they should do it. It is for the most powerful reason that exists in a democracy. You want to hear the answer? Because that's what the hell they want to do. Because that's what they want to do. Nothing more manifests a people's power than to put in office who you want. If you think Well, you know, he could still be in opposition and he won't be able to do anything other than go in there and vote for me, vote on a piece of bill or and speak in the, on the bills and speak on the resolutions and stuff like that. I understand that he'll be limited maybe because the government won't work with him or cooperate, but they want to do that. That is the absolute benefit of them doing so. They have expressed the ones you pray to God never leaves them the right to send who they want when they want to the Parliament of the Bahamas, even in the face of existing power. And if they want to send back the PLP, then that's their right. That is the way it should be. And I shall never, never be disappointed when they send who they want. My God, on the day when they can't send who they want because they're either coerced or they're oppressed or they are forced to do so, that ain't no democracy. Can you imagine a greater expression of democracy than saying to a sitting government, no, I shall not send your man back to you. I shall not. I'm sending a man opposite to you. That's the benefit. And that ain't no little benefit. It is absolutely a denigration of our democracy to look at it in terms of, well, they can't get no school bill for you. They can't get no road pay for you. They can't get, I mean, really? That, really? In electing a member of parliament? No, man. When you elect in your government, those are considerations that you make as you vote for a candidate. That in the general election, that's a different story, right? It's a slightly different story. But in the context of things, there's nothing more profound, nothing more powerful than sending there who you want. So if you want to send Lincoln Bean there, you send Lincoln Bean there. That's the benefit. If you want to send Tennille Burroughs there, then you send her. That's the benefit. If you want to send Daquan there because that's what you want, that's the benefit. If you want to send if you want to send Kingsley Smith there, then you send him. If you want to send Lincoln Bean, send him. That's the benefit. There's nothing else to describe, nothing else to discuss, nothing else. Because even a sitting member of parliament in a government could get nothing done because the government ain't interested and ain't doing nothing for them. It has happened many a time. It's still happening. All right? So no. What's the benefit? The benefit is people voted the way they doggone wanted. And that's how the democracy should work. We have callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Minister Lang. Minister Lang, I just call to say amen. That's it. That's it. The people speak their mind. That's the benefit. The people get to express themselves. Don't let's forget
Absolutely.
Now. Don't forget Malcolm and the way that is Elizabeth with Malcolm Addy, although it had to end up in court. The people speak their mind. The FNM was the government and they still voted for the PLP candidate. And the good thing about it, the Prime Minister used the word wild threats. We had none of that, no. Mr. Ingram fixed all kind of roads and the stop signs and do everything. Not promise them for later. He did it because they was in government. That's why a lot of people, a lot of soldiers mightn't be smart like a Fred Mitchell. But disappointed. Like, you call it wild threats or whatever. We expect better. The people need to understand if you want Lincoln Bean, if you want Kingsley Smith, If you want Ricardo, you could do it. Or Tennille Burroughs, you could do it. Speak your mind. The government deserves all. I only call it say amen, man. Hey, you hit the nail right on the head, yeah? Right on the head. Keep up the good work, Minister.
Thank you, Papa. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So how you doing?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
I am good, you know. Mr. Lang, good. Let me just applaud Antoine for, I usually don't agree with Antoine. But Antoine, today, you speak truth to power. You know, when the PLP first came, when this administration came in, and during the speech from the throne, I remember Mr. Cooper saying at Bahama that we will be gracious in our victory and that we will seek to govern for all Bahamians. When an MP rises on behalf of a constituency, yes, that constituency may be held by that political party, but he rises on behalf of all of the inhabitants, all of the individuals who reside in that constituency, whether they are PLP, DNA, or whatever. And the constituency offices in those constituencies, they are not PLP or FNM or whoever it is. They are paid for by the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They are apolitical constituency offices. And so I hope, Mr. Whoever, we hope that they are listening. And Mr. Fred Mitchell, honestly, sir, you need to cool it down. I mean, how can you, as the, someone who is telling somebody that they need to quit, and you're going to get up and say that this individual was not prepared to run in as a political, I mean, as a candidate for a constituency, but want to challenge him? Anybody can challenge you. You don't even have to speak to that. We got to stop this gut up.
But you want to hear something? So let's suppose you have an election in the constituency, and the constituency is won by 5 votes, right? So let's say it was 3,500 for one party and 3,495 for another party. Okay. If you spite the constituency, ain't you spiting 3,945 of your people?
Our motto say forward, upward, onward, and together. We have to build this country together. FNM, PLP, DNA, everyone has something to contribute to the building of this country. And we got to stop this divisive type of politicking. And, you know, yes, it's a battle. Yes, somebody has to win and whatnot. But, man, speak to the issue on track. Keep it simple, stupid, man. Just speak to the issues. Yes, what I hope to do legislatively, you know. But thanks for your time, yes. Mr. Lang. Have a good day.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Welcome to World Investor Month. Let's talk about how investments behave when inflation sticks around. In a world of rising prices, some investments may shine, like commodities or real estate. Others, like bonds, may lose their luster. To navigate this, diversify your investments. Spread your money across different asset classes to reduce risk. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Get started by following us on social media.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a step. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me ask you a question. And I know this is a serious question. I don't recall it, but so you could tell me what your answer is. You'll ever recall hearing an administration, hearing a party, FNM, PLP, go into convention about the legislative things they will be looking at in convention? Anybody has ever heard any party do that? Any party, FNM, PLP, DNACOI, any party say, you know what, we're going into convention, and one of the things, what these are the legislations that we're going to be looking at. Marijuana, marital rape, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody, have you ever heard any party do that before? Any? Now, all parties have platforms. They all have platform committees. So they look at many things. But you ever heard them come to the public during the course of a public dialogue say that? Any party? My people are journalists. Any of y'all ever hear a party do that? Was that solicited or was that something volunteered? Any of you have ever heard a party say, we're going in the convention and the convention we'll be looking at these pieces of legislation. Anybody? Tell me, please. Tell me if you've ever heard that before. Let me read some of the... this text says, surprised at the objectivity Anton is displaying regarding his own party. I actually agree with his assessment. This text says, the only plan this lousy administration headed by Davis and Cooper had for this country is high electricity bills, high taxes, reduced social services budget, raise travel budgets, and raise the constituency budget from $60 million to $75 plus million. Davis and Cooper's days are numbered in Parliament along with this lousy administration. So you don't regard as a plan their determination to build a hospital in Grand Bahama, here in New Providence, build a new prison, finish up the stuff there at the stadium, reduce VAT. None of those were plans. So the only plans are the ones you mentioned. Okay. It's Texas. I'll ask the flip side of that question. What can the government do for the people of West Grand Bahama and Bimini if Kingsley Smith is elected but cannot do if another candidate is elected? Very good. Let's put it like this. There's everything. Nothing. That's the answer. There's nothing that they cannot do in West Grand Bahama and Bimini if Kingsley is there or Grant is there or COI Bain is there or Tennille is there or Taquan is there. There's nothing that they cannot do with them in office that they can't do with Kingsley in office. That's a very good way to put it. In other words, anything they could do with Kingsley there, they could do with Kingsley not there. That is a very good way to put it. Very good question. All right, so I'm asking, you ever heard a party say, we're going into convention, and these are the pieces of legislation. I can't say definitively that it is because of the emphasis we are placing on the role of parliamentarians that is true. But it was interesting to hear the PLP indicate that going in convention, that's what they're going to do. And I hope you hear more of that from the FNM and other candidates and the other parties as well. What is the legislative agenda? What's the legislative agenda? I don't know why they need to discuss. Well, maybe they need to discuss it since they don't seem to be able to get past it now, the marital rape, and then maybe in convention they could discuss it and the party will say, yeah, let's move forward with that, and then that'll give them some impetus to do it. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Shabag, are you with me?
I'm here.
Okay, pardon my calling back, but you touched on something that's hot for me. And I spoke about it earlier today with Aaron Green and Cecil on their show, right? And here you are, as someone who is starting to see, who has the experience, who has the know-how, who has the understanding, although there is nobody better suited, in my view, on Guardian to have that kind of dialogue with than you. So here's my 2 cents, and I'm going to keep it to 2 cents, Chivago, because of the sensitivity again, which I'm certain you understand what I mean when I say that, Chivago. You can hear me clearly?
I can hear you very clearly.
Look, I don't know what is going on. I honestly, Chivago, I don't know what's going on in the party that I support. But when I heard Aaron and Cecil say today that it was announced by one of the party's leadership that we're going to be discussing marijuana bill, marital rape bill, and a few other hot topic matters going into convention, I was trying to figure out, like, am I in a twilight zone or something like that? Like, why are we taking up those kinds of issues that are matters of the state at the party convention level when we ought to be dealing with other matters pertinent to the party at the party convention level? And we ought to be taking up wherever necessary through either referendum or town halls or, you know, civic meetings, organizations, et cetera, in order to get as full a consensus as possible to make a determination on which way the people wants to go and to help to guide how best to accomplish the objectives of the people. Those kinds of things don't happen at the national convention level. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on, who's leading, who's giving these advices, where's this kind of thinking coming from? Because it's very concerning to someone like me, who's an independent thinker, who isn't led by what other people think, and who looks at the reality of what we are faced with in the country, especially at the party level. And so I'm very happy to hear that you brought that particular aspect of your discussion up in your dialogue. And I'm listening with great intent as to where you're going to go in your discussion. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention because that's a serious concern for me. And
But Anton, you've been involved with conventions before.
Absolutely.
Typically at the pre-election convention,
right,
matters like this might come up because you're trying to determine your manifesto, your plan.
Yeah.
So you discuss matters like this. But in a midterm,
however, Chivago, matters like that may come up, but it comes up in collaboration with a wide range of input from the country. And you discuss that along with whatever you may formulate at the party level, at the convention level, to try and put together a national platform which gives the buy-in of the people, because what the people say in that consideration, and you represent that as your party's blueprint or party's platform.
You and I are not disagreeing. What I'm saying
I agree with you.
I'm saying in the middle of a term,
right,
it isn't usual to take up matters like that. Because think about it. You already have this issue out there in the public's domain. You already got draft bills. What you gonna talk to the convention about?
That's why I am Chivago, that confuddled my mind when I heard that today on Aaron and and Cecil's show. It confuddled my mind. I am so confused. What is going on? You know, and if this is, you know what? Anyway, Chivago, I'm not going to take it up any further. I'll just listen to what you have to say. Thank you for the opportunity, Chivago. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Mind you, let's be clear. A party can choose to discuss anything it wishes during the course of its convention. So don't let me, it might be awkward, it might be different than what was happening before, but it can take up these things if it wishes. My only point was, maybe we break it through. Maybe this talk about the legislative agenda, this talk about what the responsibility of the parliament is, maybe it is breaking through. Maybe people are getting to now sensitize themselves to the fact of that responsibility, that very hefty responsibility, quite frankly. If we are going to change, if we are going to improve our institutions in the country, if we are going to improve the environment of the state and the extent to which you as Bahamians feel engaged, feel endeared to your state, let me tell you something. Law is going to do that, man. Law is going to do that. When you, the extent to which you trust your institutions is the extent to which your institutions hold themselves seriously accountable in law, get serious about the way they govern themselves in law. That's what's going to help with doing that. The way you're going to feel empowered is the extent to which in law entitlements come to you as citizens of the state, and that they're not just matters of policy where some minister or government person can just have discretion and who gets and who don't get. But when in law, it is defined what the benefit is that accrues to you as a citizen. You get to say to the courts, I am entitled to this because the law entitles me to it. That's how that happens. When your laws, when you're in accordance with law, you ain't gonna like some of the things, but when the law says you cannot have a stinking, nasty, dirty yard next to your neighbor, when the law says that, and the law demands that you keep your yard in a certain kind of way so that everybody's environment looks better, gets upgraded, and can be appreciated in the context, when the law says that, you'd be better off. When the law says that. Huh? Because the law brings a certain rigor, brings a certain robustness. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how you doing? Seattle and Johnson. Just let me speak on the law part you just spoke on. You know, law creates culture. And also, so when you create a culture within the people, within the community, but also the lack of laws also creates a culture also. Because it's what one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. And so we're kind of experiencing that right now. But on the statement concerning the what the Progressive Liberal Party would discuss at convention, for me, when I heard it, I automatically went in more of the same. And what I mean by more of the same, the one thing that the Progressive Liberal Party has done this time is they spent a lot of time showing their marketing ability as opposed to ability to govern. They want to change the narrative of what is happening to even begin to look. I always admired the word smithsmanship of the chairman of the party, even how he's being challenged and his means of speaking to the individual who has challenged him for leadership of the...
Let me ask you a question, C. Allen. Who's the person who didn't want to run in the election that run for chairman? Which one of them is it?
It has to be Lyons because she's the only one that...
Sheen wanted to run. Sheen wanted to run in McAuley.
Yes, he wanted to run, actually. But because of some other issues, he didn't. The party chose not to nominate him. So, but it also had the message in there concerning almost as if, though, you know, like it was treason, treachery, that I train and prepared you. And having familiarity with the Progressive Liberal Party during the last years of Ms. Lyons, she is the one who actually played an active role in building all of the branches leading into the 2021 campaign, including...
You could choose where you want to serve in a party. If you don't want to be a member of parliament, geez, you're a rarity.
Right. That's what I'm saying to you. It's like, what happens is the Progressive Liberal Party is isn't in an internal shift where you have a leadership of the old and the new desires for those who made promises under the bridge to the future, who really wants access, and the old is holding on at all expense. My message to them is just be patient. A few more state funerals and you will have your
Oh God, man. But Anton, I gotta run. I gotta run. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We gotta take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year. Ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek, you can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, Mr. Lang, before Anton called, I was of the opinion, according to you, that it was a good thing to discuss those topics at the convention. Are you saying it is not a good thing to do it? I'm thinking it is good move. Please help me understand if you differ. No, I'm not saying it's not a good thing at all. In fact, I didn't raise it for that reason. I raised it because I was saying maybe our emphasis on legislation and the importance of the parliament is breaking through so that even the convention people now are saying they're going to discuss legislation. I've never heard that being done. And so if that is the case, that's a good thing. I'm not arguing whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm saying it's not usual to hear about that kind of thing, especially during a midterm in a government. But no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. Anton is of the view that that's not the place to do it, et cetera. But that's not what I am saying. That's not what I was emphasizing. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Shivago?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, sir?
Good, man.
Before I start off, tell your mommy hello for me and your sister Carol. Tell her hello for me.
Will do.
You're a boy.
Yep. I got you, bro.
Okay, Perry, you said that government's supposed to carry on for everybody. Perry Christie started baseball auditorium. He got out of office. Minister Cobra. Why didn't he finish the job with Perry Starr? That was for everybody in the Bahamas. Why did
mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you said yourself, you can't pave half of the road and leave the other half just because they didn't move. If Perry started an auditorium and didn't finish it, Minister Cooper, and he did nothing to it, Davis come in and finished the job. Why Minister didn't finish the job? That's all I have to say, Mr. Shivago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if the question is why he didn't finish the job, you got to ask him. I don't know. But the example that you cite, you're right, could be cited in any number of instances. one of those instances was the New Providence Road Improvement Program. Ingram started that program, and rather than finish that program, the Progressive Liberal Party decided to do something different.
Okay.
And at the time, and when Ms. Ingram came back to office, he had to finish the program, but it was now $65 million more expensive.
Yes.
So you're right. It happens, and it can happen for both sides.
Okay.
And neither instances makes sense, but it does happen.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. But still, he wanted to challenge the leader of the FNM to run for prime minister again. You know about that?
That who wanted to challenge?
But
you know, you have a right to challenge who you want. That's your right.
I agree. But if he couldn't have finished the job for the world, not just the Bahamian people, the world. That's a stadium. The world.
And that's how people get to judge him. People get to judge, well, you want to be leader again, and you left this and left that and left this. Same thing people could do with Christie or Ingram or anybody else who they have stuff against.
Got you, big brother.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Have a good
one. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Yeah, brother, have a good one. Have a good one. Why people do some of the things they do? Maybe it's a matter of resource. Maybe it's a matter of priority. Maybe it's a matter of spite. Maybe it is whatever else it is. Who knows? The only way you have to ask them, and if they prepared to tell the truth, they'll tell the truth to you. If not, you know, it is what it is, right? But on the issue of starting something someone else started, and finishing something someone else started, or not finishing something someone else started, all parties can be guilty of that. I won't say equally guilty, because I haven't done that assessment, but can be guilty of that. It is also true that all these parties are also finishing things the others have started. You know how much ribbon cutting Mr. Christie did that Mr. Ingram started? Mr. Ingram did some ribbon cutting that Mr. Finland may have started. Mr. Ingram did some stuff that Mr. Christie started. And right now, Mr. Davis, them doing some stuff that Dr. Minnis them started. That shipyard in Grand Bahama, that expansion, that ain't come up and pop up in the last 2 years. As a matter of fact, that expansion extends to Hubert Alexander. Let's be sure of that. The Fishing Old Road in Grand Bahama, That was agitated for by Caleb Bowden under the Ingram administration. The Christie administration put a plan in place to build a bridge, didn't finish it. I believe the Minnis administration came in. I believe they got it finished. They had some issues with it, but got it finished, right? So, you know, you got some things get carried on by both all administrations, and some things don't get carried on. But you can't vote for change and don't get different and then say you vote for change. If you vote for change, some things can change. Some things can be different. People's priorities can be different, right? So that's for you to assess when you decide as voters to vote. Don't vote and then expect people to keep doing what the other person was doing. Vote for change and get change. If you vote for change and get change, now you might like the change. But if you vote for change, don't be surprised you get change. That's the nature of the business. Anyways, we'll keep watching to see how things evolve in these constituencies. And we'll keep bringing you what we hear and what we observe and what is brought to our attention. I can tell you all one thing, buddy. The brethren on both sides and all sides are taking this one very seriously. And it's going down in West Grand Mama Bimini. It is going down. You hear me? They playing for keeps. All right? They are playing for keeps. And I promise you, I think it's going to get more and more interesting. I want to use that word for now. A polite word. It's going to get more and more interesting as we go along. You're listening to Z Live. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. Listen, God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I may not be able to be with you tomorrow. I may not be able to be with you. I have some personal things to attend to. But if depending on how it goes, I may be back with you tomorrow. If not, we'll see. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. God bless you. Have a great, great one.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Faith Center Ministries, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.